The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host of this daily NFL podcast. It's Thursday, October 10th. It's a CBS Sports daily podcast, by the way, and it's Thursday, which means it's time for some fantasy chatter. Got the resplendent Heath Cummings in Fort Lauderdale. Heath, are you less bearded than usual, or am I?
I trimmed the beard this morning. Okay. I've got a couple bets that I'm hoping come through for me in the next couple of weeks. Minshew bets. I'm pretty excited about hopefully not having a beard next week.
Oh, you want to go full mustache. So you're hoping.
I just keep making these bets that if I win, they have to wear the Minshew. And if I lose, I get to wear the Minshew. That's the only way my wife's going to be okay with me wearing the Minshew.
So it's called a win-win in my book.
It is a win-win for sure.
And joining us from his palisade in Atlanta, Brian McFadden. What's up, buddy? It doesn't actually look like a palisade. I don't know why I make that joke, but it looks like a very nice place. Okay, so BMAC, we're going to get in on this real quick. There's nothing I find worse in life. I hope my wife can't hear this, but because obviously you have bigger regrets in life, but like I really get eaten up inside when I make a bad fantasy mistake. I go back and look at draft results and I kick myself in the butt all year long. Like I've been doing this in this one league where I took George Kittle over Marlon Mack, and now my running backs suck, and it's eating me alive every week. BMAC, I believe you have a lineup confession to make, perhaps something that's been tearing at you. We're recording this on Wednesday at 3:00, and you seem genuinely bothered by this.
I am. You know, the issue is when it comes to fantasy. Granted, you have to do your research and do your homework and things like that, but you need to get a bit lucky. You know, let's keep it real. Luck is definitely a huge priority in you being successful when it comes to fantasy lineups and players and who should start and who should not start. So Sunday morning, I wake up, of course, getting ready for Sunday football. I'm going through my lineups. I'm in multiple leagues. I'm in three leagues, right? So I'm going through all my leagues, making sure everything is set in stone. I don't have any surprises. And as I'm watching television, I see Tyrell Williams is out. Now, I was extremely mad because on my bench, I had DK Metcalf, who played in the Thursday night game against the Rams, but there was no indications that Tyrell potentially could be out. So I kept Metcalf on the bench. Metcalf gave me a solid, 20 plus points or something like that, on that 40-yard touchdown. So now I got 20 points or so on the bench. So it's staring at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So worst case, I would have had no other choice but to insert him into my lineup if I'd known there was it was 50-50 that Tyrell could play or could not play, right? So now I'm scrambling. I'm looking to see who's on the streets. I'm looking. My quarterback in this particular league is Aaron Rodgers. So I thought about it. I said, well, Davante Adams, they announced that he was out also. So I'm like, you know what? Geronimo's on the street. Sure. Geronimo has been a big fantasy disappointment so far this season. I really thought this guy would have a breakout-like year, similar to what he had last year before he went out. But then I'm looking also to see who's on the streets. I see Will Fuller.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So I look at the matchup. I say, Atlanta, their secondary has been bad. I mean, you look at every quarterback that has played against Atlanta. I mean, if Marcus Mariota can carve you up, you're playing some bad defense, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at Will Fuller, Geronimo.
Oh, no.
So you know what I said? I said, just looking at how bad the secondary is in Atlanta and knowing Atlanta, the one person they're going to try to take away is Hopkins.
Yeah.
So guess what? Fuller's going to have one-on-one opportunities. So I go insert Fuller into my lineup. So then one of my homeboys who's also involved in fantasy, he calls me. We're talking, going over our lineup. I told him what I decided to do.
Oh, no.
He's like,
no, this gets way worse.
He's like, yo, you sure you want to do that, B-Mac? I'm like, what you mean? He said, man, what about Geronimo? Because no, Devontae, I mean, he's instantly the number two guy as far as the pass catchers in Green Bay. And you got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And I'm like, well, listen, Atlanta, they're bad. Atlanta is a must-start team. Having a player go against Atlanta defense, you have to start him. And I'm like, Atlanta, they're bad defense. He said, yeah, but, man, Geronimo's going to go off. He's going to go off. Guess what I do?
Oh, no.
I remove Will Fuller out of my life.
This is Allison, probably.
Listen,
right?
Listen. This is 12:57. This is right before 1 o'clock kickoffs.
Oh no!
I took Will Fuller out of my lineup. Added Geronimo. Geronimo gave me 2.8 points, guys.
Suffice to say, you lost by somewhere in the range of 3 points and 50 points, right?
Listen. Will Fuller on the streets had almost 50 points. So this is my lineup in this league, guys. Aaron Rodgers, who basically gave me 9 points. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen, who went off, 26. Geronimo, 2. Chubb, 9. Derrick Henry, 13. Ingram, 4. Marlon Mack, 14. Will Lutz, 7. Tennessee defense. And in this league, we have a defensive player. I had Devin Bush. So the player I played against, he ended up beating me 141 to 107.
Oh, man. That's the difference between Will Fuller and Geronimo Allison. I actually think – go ahead. I think there are a couple, like, important lessons to come out of this, but I'm curious what you think about this situation.
I can't decide whether to make the your team going Geronimo down the standings joke or to say, how do you still remember this? Corners are supposed to have short memories. You're supposed to – you guys get burnt. You just forget about it.
It's not the same. And this is the crazy part though. I was undefeated in that league, the only undefeated team. I just suffered my first loss basically because I removed. And you know what's crazy? When I took them out 12:57, they literally scored their first touchdown with like 3 minutes or 4 minutes in the game, and it was to Will Fuller.
Oh yeah. It was a bomb, immediate bomb to Will Fuller. All right. So I got three lessons that I think come from three like dead serious lessons that I think are good for people who play fantasy, like larger scale lessons that come from this. The first one, and I know, I mean, Heath and I have talked about this at DFS. You don't want to, tinkering is a bad idea. Last second tinkering. And I mean, like you were smart to make the move on the Tyrell thing. Like that's what you got to do. Like you got to be smart about that. But like tinkering at like 12:57 is where you get burnt and where you really regret things. Number two lesson I think comes out of this is always trust yourself. Now that doesn't just apply to professional, former professional football players who had a perfect insight into the idea that Atlanta's secondary sucked, especially once you get to Isaiah Oliver as the second cornerback and that Will Fuller is going to go nuts. But like if somebody out there is listening to this and they ask me, Heath, BMAC, Dave, Jamie, whoever, for advice, and you don't really like the advice, then go with what you think, because you should be happy with your lineup when you make your choices. And then finally, the more important lesson, and this is not something that affected you, BMAC, but like people ask me, like, oh, should I start Devontae Adams or Mike Evans? It's like, well, look, Devontae Adams, you're not going to know about him until Monday night this week, okay? So you got to start Mike Evans. Like, if you think you need to look ahead and see if you have Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night guys and plan ahead accordingly, right, Heath?
Yeah, that's all right. Those are valuable lessons that you're giving. I was just going to give jokes. that's all good stuff. And
I'm just glad you were undefeated though, because if you were 1-4 now, that'd be
well. And I think Will, you can speak to this. It's much better for an undefeated team to lose in week 5 than it is to lose in the championship game on the precipice of a perfect season.
Actually, I think I even lost in the first round.
Even better.
Yeah. And remember, I lost my, I had an undefeated auction team and I got Patrick Mahomes for like a buck. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, I lost in the first round of the playoffs. There were some shenanigans where our commissioner, Dave Richard, actually expanded the playoffs to include an extra team and I lost in the first round. It was very shady. It was clearly designed to take me down and I'm still bitter about it. And now I don't know what the hell we're doing. So what are you going to do with that spot this week, B-Mac? Are you going to?
Yes, I tried. Did you drop
Will Fuller?
I dropped him and I added Geronimo Allison. So no, of course I tried to go to search the streets to see if Will Fuller was available, and no, someone paid top dollar to get him.
Yes, of course he did. Are you going to? Let's see. The Raiders will be on a bye.
Packers. Yeah, so right now, and I need some help from you guys. Tyreek Hill was already in my lineup, but of course he's been on the bench because he's been injured. So I still have DK Metcalf on my bench, but I'm thinking Tyreek Hill should play, right?
That's a question for Heath, I think, right now.
I don't have an answer to that. I would be probably like 55-45 in favor of Tyreek Hill likely playing. They've sounded optimistic. He's got to get a full practice in first. I haven't seen a report on Wednesday, but if he gets, I think he will, but I wouldn't want to say, yep. Like, if it was someone you have on Thursday versus Tyreek Hill, you're playing the Thursday person. Cause I know it's not a giant because none of their players are playing.
So I would actually say, and I don't know what the number, I'd have to look up what the numbers are for the Lions against slot receivers. That's really been the biggest disappointment for Geronimo Allison this year is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers loves slot guys. He was going to play predominantly in the slot. He was going to get peppered with targets and he hadn't stepped up. But I think if Geronimo Allison would be an interesting option for the Tyreek Hill owner to keep in your case, because he's playing Monday. So like if Tyreek Hill is inactive, you can simply just swap him out for Geronimo Allison. You don't have to worry about it. You'll be able to wait, as long as you want for that swap. And the Chiefs are at 1 o'clock. So it's not like, you know, I mean, you don't have to wait. It's not a 4:25 situation that you have to worry about there. I don't know who else is out there. Obviously you're not playing. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. I think I would play DK Metcalf if I were, I would just play DK Metcalf or Tyreek Hill, I think would be my move.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I think, of course, as the week goes on and on, we'll get, you know, better insight if Tyreek Hill will play, right? By Friday, we should definitely have some big time information if he's going to play.
If he's not going to play, we will know by Friday. But then I think it's probably going to be a Sunday at 11:30 thing on Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Heath, let me ask, speaking of Tyreek Hill, I asked, you were on the podcast, I believe, when Adam Azer decided to, sideswipe me.
I was not, I'm not on that podcast with you, but.
I meant on the one with, Jamie when Adam asked about, were you on there? The question I'm asking you, are you concerned about the Chiefs offense at all as a Chiefs guy?
I was wondering what your take was because like my inbox has been flooded with emails complaining about Will Brinson's appearance on the podcast.
I've seen a few of them. It's actually true, right?
Yes. Not happy with you. Chiefs fans not in their feelings at all. I am not particularly concerned. No. They've played without two starting offensive linemen and their top two wide receivers last week. And Patrick Mahomes was dinged up at the same time. I don't, assuming that Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins or some offensive linemen are coming back, the thing I can't understand is what happened. It wasn't the fumble. Like, LeSean McCoy is a veteran. Andy Reid loves him. It wasn't the fumble. They say he's not injured. So why in that game did Damian 1.8 yards per carry Williams get all of the carries? LeSean McCoy got zero. Darrell Williams got zero. That's the running game concerns me a little bit.
Well, there was. So this was my argument with Azer, and it's not. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to suck. I'm not suggesting the Chiefs will be bad. I merely pointed out that what the Colts did to the Chiefs in Week 5 in Arrowhead on a primetime game was the same thing that we saw happen to the Chiefs last year against the Seahawks, Chargers, and Ravens late, a stretch of games where the Chiefs went 1-2 because it was physical teams running on them. And then I looked at the schedule. I said, all right, look, maybe the Texans aren't a great physical team, but they can get involved in a shootout. The Broncos can run the ball. The Packers can run the ball. The Vikings can run the ball. The Titans can run the ball. And the Chargers offensive line banged up like the Vikings. Their next six opponents are pretty tough defensive in terms of pass rush guys and run the ball. Like, I think there's a blueprint there for smart coaches to follow to minimize the damage that the Chiefs offense can do to you, or at least minimize the possessions they have to do damage to you.
Yeah, the problem just is if Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins come back, then you're going to do a great job of controlling time of possession, but you're counting on scoring on 15-play drives and then watching the Chiefs score on 4-play drives.
Sure.
And it's tough math because you can't make any mistakes on those 15-play drives. This is an intentional thing by the Chiefs defense. They don't want to get beat by the pass anymore. And so they're going to let you run it a little bit. And I think that's the smart thing to do defensively. It just, it does limit Patrick Mahomes a little bit.
And that was sort of my point to Azer, is that, like, I'm not scared the Chiefs offense is going to fall off a cliff, but ignoring what happened on Sunday night with the bad offensive line, the injured ankle, Sammy Watkins, notoriously unhealthy throughout his career, hidden on the field, Tyreek Hill battling an injury that's been a little bit nebulous about the return time. I mean, Byron friggin' Pringle is the leading receiver.
Did you say Adam was ignorant for calling the Chiefs the best offense in the league?
I don't. I think who said that?
An emailer.
No. I think I said Adam was ignorant for ignoring the signs on Sunday night. Like there are signs of concern with the Chiefs, in my opinion.
I'm just going. I just searched my inbox for Will Brinson, and I'm just reading the Will.
Are there really that many
emails? There's only a few of them. I mean, I could just read them out loud. Will reads mean emails. That could be a segment.
Let's do it. Oh, okay, I thought you were actually going to read them. All right. Instead of that, how about we talk about Thursday night? BMAC, what would you suggest the Giants do without Evan Engram, Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, or Wayne Gallman as they take a rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones, into Foxborough in a game that is supposed to feature heavy precipitation as well as 21 mile per hour wind on a short rest against the greatest defensive coach in the history of football and perhaps one of the greatest home field advantages in the history of football and perhaps the best defense that Bill Belichick has had in the past 10 years? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
You just run the ball. I mean, you just named what three top pass catchers in the offense, right?
And Gallman, the would-be starting running back. Well, two running backs and three pass catchers. Yeah.
Yeah, you just run the ball. And I think for me, when it comes to watching Daniel Jones, Giants fans, they feel extremely excited about the future, right? So far, I mean, I think he's done what he was supposed to do. I think he's actually exceeded expectations. Just going back to that, his first start against Tampa, right? And since then, he's really been playing pretty good football, and he's doing a lot with less. There's not a lot surrounding him, and he's going to be asked to do a lot with less Thursday night. I don't see that happening because he's playing against one of the best defenses and the best defense in the NFL, the best fantasy defense in the NFL. So if you have the New England Patriots defense, I mean, you should be licking your chops when it comes to the fantasy points they probably will provide. So just, I mean, Giants, let's keep it plain and simple. You don't want to put your young kid in harm's way. It's almost impossible for you to expect that Daniel Jones will provide good numbers, fantasy and in the reality without his top pass catchers. And for me, I'm a guy, I have Evan Engram in two leagues, right? And even if Evan was healthy, I don't know if I actually would start him based on the defense he's playing against and the weather. So now knowing that he is injured, it's easy for me to remove him without having any second thoughts, because even if he was healthy, you remove him out of your lineup, there's always that part of you that's going to have second thoughts. Well, did I make the right decision? Now you have no other choice. So Heath, question for you. The only other tight end I have in one league, well, I got Evan in two leagues. My backup in one league is TJ Hockenson, who's kind of been missing since the first game, right? And then the other league, this guy hasn't showed up all year long, and that's OJ Howard. What is going on with OJ Howard?
He finally caught a ball. Too bad it was at the Rays game, unfortunately. You guys saw that, right? Did you see that?
Yes. Pete Prisco was very angry at him. He could have broken his hand.
I mean, if you're a professional football catcher and you reach out your bare hand to grab a screaming baseball flying into the foul area, maybe don't do that.
I've done that. It hurts like
it hurts if you catch it with a glove on in the middle, like
bruised for like a week. That's not a good situation, VBAC. I mean, obviously the team that has Evan Engram and TJ Hockenson, you're in a situation where you don't have a tight end this week because one of them's hurt and the other one's on a bye. I would hope that Gerald Everett might be available. That's the only guy that you could add.
Hockenson is back.
They're not on a bye. He's hurt too. He's in the concussion protocol.
Hockenson is?
Yes.
Yeah.
The
good news with Hockenson. The good news with Hockenson is that
there's no good news, Heath. I mean, Will, what are you talking about?
Well, it's not a shoulder injury. It's just a concussion. That's the good news, which means he could be cleared to play on Monday, but you won't know until Monday is the problem.
What?
No, there's a chance that by Friday he could be out of the protocol. He is back at practice, but still in the protocol.
Let's do this.
I would not drop TJ Hawkinson yet.
What?
I wouldn't. Hold on. Well, you have to drop someone.
I have no other choice but to go with OJ Howard because he's already on my bench. Yeah. So I just hopefully he catches a pass that's not a baseball.
Right.
But in the other league with TJ, you saying don't drop him just yet. Now looking at the tight ends that are available in this league, Jared Cook, Chris Herndon, Vernon Davis, Vince McDonald, Tyler Eifert, Hayden Hurst, Jeff Swarm, Dallas Goddard. I mean, there are not a lot of sexy names, right? I mean, Cook probably would be the best option, wouldn't you say?
I like the way it started off as a declaration that he would be the best option, and just you added a question mark in your voice. And I would like to do the same thing with all of the tight ends after about the top seven this week. Vance McDonald would be my favorite option there. With no James Washington, maybe a few more targets for the tight ends, but I would not make
him. No
Jalen Samuels either, so they were down another tight end. I would. Will didn't even laugh when I called him a tight end that time.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I didn't even get it, yeah.
I would wait until Friday. Because, maybe somebody goes and picks up Vance McDonald, you didn't miss anything. Then you can go get Jared Cook. These guys are all the same. They're going to have 30 or 40 yards, and you hope they score a touchdown. Maybe Hawk will get cleared by Friday.
You know, the other option would be, and I don't love this option, but just throwing it out there, with as dinged up as the Eagles receivers are, and all the coverage that will probably be shifted to Zach Ertz by the Minnesota Vikings. They're actually the Vikings are like top half of the league in terms of fantasy points allowed to tight ends. Goddard could be a guy where you're just hoping he catches a touchdown. I mean, but that's where you are with any of these guys, right?
Just no question.
Touchdown. Cause the Jaguars are bottom. Yeah. They're fairly close to the Vikings, but a little bit lower in terms of points allowed to tight ends. Yeah, I mean, I don't,
you know, it's looking at these tight ends. It feels like I just went to the store and they had a clearance sale all week and I just got there on Friday and pretty much everything is gone.
That's accurate. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Accurate.
Let's see. I'm trying to find, let me ask you this. What do you think about, Le'Veon Bell now that Sam Darnold's back? Is he moving up or down for you, B-Man? In BMAX rankings. I want BMAX rankings.
He's the same place for me. Okay. And the reason why their offense is so bad. That's a bad offense. Even with Sam Darnold, I mean, they're the same offense with or without Sam Darnold, in my opinion. I mean, they might be better. They're a little better, but what did we see from Sam before he was out with his injury that makes us believe the players around him can provide fantasy points? I'm not saying do not start Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying that. Because he's still a baller. Who do they have who this week? They have.
I'm like blanking on who teams are playing
Dallas.
This week. They're Dallas. Yes, Dallas.
Yeah. That's a tough matchup. That's a tough matchup. I mean, he's a must start regardless. Le'Veon Bell is, but just having Sam Darnold back, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't change my thought about Le'Veon.
I am glad to hear someone else say this.
Wow.
I have heard a lot of real optimism about the Jets passing game because Sam Darnold is coming back.
Sammy Spleen.
And I don't get it. Like, he had a couple of good games, but Adam Gase is still running this offense. This is one of my favorite Jets-related stats. And it's partially based on a small sample size. I will readily admit that. But Luke Falk has the second lowest completed air yards this season. Minimum 40 attempts.
That's not good.
The lowest was Sam Darnold.
That's Adam Gase's offense. I got a stat for you, Heath. Here's a, or maybe even fun fact. Here are Adam Gase's rankings since 2015 of the offense in terms of yards per game as an OC or a head coach with the Dolphins, with the Bears, Miami, and the Jets. 21, 24, 25, 31, 32. Adam Gase got those jobs because these are the rankings from 2013 to 2014 with the Broncos. 1-4. Do you know what the difference is between all those other teams and the Denver Broncos in 2013 and 2014? Anyone want to take a guess? Maybe, I don't know, Peyton Manning? That was the guess I assume you were going to have as well.
Yeah. So we were right.
I think Adam Gase, like, I know a lot of smart football people who like Adam Gase, and he's done a lot of, like, he's had a lot of success, but he hasn't had a good offense without Peyton Manning. That's a concern.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, it's not just a concern. Oh, Will, it's just bad.
When you said he had a lot of success, you mean as non-head coach?
Yeah, as Denver's OC. Yeah.
As a coordinator.
He's not had success as a head coach. Yeah.
As a coordinator.
He went to the playoffs with Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, give him something, I guess.
What do you want to give him?
I don't have cookie. I don't know. I'll give him free access to our Pick Six Podcast Facebook group, which, by the way, private group. Every week I will go in there on Sunday and answer questions. And we're setting up other live chats with Breach, Sean, various people. I'm going to try and get in there on Tuesday too to handle waiver stuff as well. Just got a little hectic this week. But we have some Facebook group questions that we will read on here. So if you leave a question in that group, go to facebook.com, search Pick Six Podcast, join. It'll be a private. You'll request. Debo will approve or deny you. It's like the gladiator thing, you know, where it's like thumb up or thumb down. Each individual, he weighs and then decides to approve them. And you can ask questions and we'll answer them. And we'll answer some here right now. This is from Tyler Klein. Cortland Sutton or Calvin Ridley, rest of season. Thanks. I listen every day from Thailand. Heath, what you think?
This is going to surprise some people, but I'm going with Cortland Sutton.
Wow.
He looks like the number one wide receiver in Denver. 10 more targets than Emmanuel Sanders over the last 3 games.
Ooh.
And he's playing like he deserves it. Atlanta is doing some weird things right now with the way they're distributing the football. Matt Ryan's on pace for 700 pass attempts, and nobody's getting enough targets. Because he's just spreading it around. Austin Hooper is, but that's it. So yeah, I'll go Sutton.
Who do you think, B-Max, Cortland Sutton or Calvin Ridley?
Well, I gotta disagree with my guy Heath, and here's why. When I look at wide receivers who are not household name type guys, I look at the defense they're playing against. And Tennessee, oddly enough, they've been playing some pretty good defense.
Yep.
And I think the pass rush could really give Flacco some issues. And one thing about Atlanta, I know they're a very, very bad team, but they have a bad defense, and that puts more pressure on Matt Ryan to do what? Throw the football. And what teams are doing now, they're doubling Julio, which is no surprise. They're also devoting a little more attention to Calvin Ridley. That's why we're not seeing the numbers we saw from him a year ago. And Hooper has really benefited from that. But if you're talking about the matchup, Arizona, that defense is bad as well. And I think knowing Atlanta, the sense of urgency, they can't afford to lose another game. They're already a bottom dweller. Matt Ryan will have to win this ball game for the Falcons because I don't think the Falcons defense can stop anybody, let alone Kyler Murray. So they're going to, it's going to, I have Matt Ryan in one of my other leagues. Matt Ryan has been one of the more exciting fantasy quarterbacks to watch because they're always losing, but he somehow gives me at least 18 to 20 points just from catch up, trying to play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll roll the dice with Ridley because I think they're not going to allow Julio to have an impact like he did the first 2-3 weeks of the season. And with that being said, someone will have to catch those 40 to 45 attempts from Matt Ryan.
Well, to follow up on that, from Orr Barak, what do you do? Oh, this is again on the Facebook group. What do you do with Matt Ryan and Julio? Do you sell before it's too late? I think you buy, if anything, with these guys. Personally.
Yeah, I'm not selling anything with Julio names attached to it.
What do you say, Heath?
Yeah, I don't know what I don't. I'm a little nervous. This person's not like from Atlanta or anything. I don't know what the before it's too late means.
Yeah, like before, like Yeah, if you're going to sell, like, if you're selling Julio, you need to wait until he blows. I think this person is concerned that this continued downtrend is going to.
But he said Matt Ryan and Julio, right?
Yeah.
Because Matt Ryan's been awesome in fantasy.
Yeah, Matt Ryan has been in 4-point passing leagues, the sixth quarterback, at least in one that I'm in. He's right there in terms of the top guys. So
don't sell.
I would buy. Julio is going to blow up at some point soon. Like they're not going to give him that contract and then have this team not. Julio is going to have one of those 300-yard games. So I would be buying Julio. I will probably be playing Julio in daily fantasy this week as we take advantage of the final week of Patrick Peterson's suspension. Your boy. Emac when he comes back. Last one, this is from Rodrigo Munoz. Non-PPR, Dalvin Cook at Philly, Chris Carson this is a lot of choices. All right, he needs two running backs, two wide receivers, and one flex. Have no idea what to do. Scared, sad emoji. His running backs are Dalvin Cook. It's a must start. You start Dalvin Cook every week. So let's pencil him in. And Chris, so it's basically Chris Carson or Tevin Coleman at running.
Ooh. Start Carson.
Heath, what you think?
Carson.
Yeah.
Carson. Yeah.
I think that's the choice. And then at wide receiver and then the flex. And bear in mind, Coleman is still an option for the flex, but I don't think we're using based on these wideouts. Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Scary Terry, Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs. So you basically have to pick three of those wide receivers, unless you like Tevin Coleman better than two of them.
Well, you talked about Devontae not knowing his status until late Monday, so just better safe than sorry. I would go Godwin, Kupp, and who were the other? What was the other
Diggs
name?
Or Terry McLaurin.
And who was before Terry? You went out.
Stephon Diggs or Terry McLaurin?
I'd go Terry. Well, you know what? Minnesota has Philly. I think I'll ride with Diggs. I think, you know, he's a bit disgruntled, and we saw how they rewarded Adam Thielen last week. So I'll go Diggs, Kupp, and Godwin.
What say you, Heath?
You said this was non-PPR, right?
Non-PPR, correct.
I'm going Tevin Coleman.
Oh, at the Rams. All right, there you go. Yeah, so you can go Tevin Coleman as a flex instead of Diggs.
I like that.
There's a lot of options. It's not terrible. I actually agree with you to be back. I like Diggs this week as the squeaky wheel. The Vikings ran a lot more play action against the Giants. It worked. That's how you're going to beat Philly. They're susceptible in the secondary. If you try to run at that Philly front, it's not going to work. I think Dalvin Cook can still have a nice game, but this is the time to get Stephon Diggs involved in the play action. And then you get a win in Minnesota at home. You blow up on offense. Everybody's happy. No more complaining. No more squeaky wheels. Just get to 4-2. And my Super Bowl bet can be alive. That's all I want. Not that hard. All right, we're going to take a break. And B-Mac, you get to peace out. And then Heath and I will come back and do a little DFS. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Hey, man, listen. Hopefully by this weekend I get another big-time victory. So I can forget about the mishap that I did this past Sunday with Will Fuller. And hopefully Will Fuller has a dud as far as this weekend, because I couldn't even pick him up to put him in my lineup, guys. All and right. OJ Howard, I'm praying for you, man. Just catch. Can you give me four receptions for a touchdown and 60 yards? I would definitely jump for joy.
Awesome stuff. All right, B-Mac. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, DFS time. Heath, have we talked about my – I mentioned on like another podcast, so I don't want to be like the guy who keeps mentioning his own teams because I know that people hate that. But I scored 233 points in DFS this weekend, and I didn't win very much money. I'm pretty upset about it.
Yeah, that's the thing that people get irritated by sometimes is there's not some set mark that means you had a good week. It's all relative to what everyone else did. I had a similar lineup out of the dozens that I played that I was very excited about at one point during the day. I had a Texans deck with Dalvin and McCaffrey, and the Eagles defense.
Like just, you had, oh, really?
Just almost everything. I played Jordan Akins as the Texans tight end, and Fells scored 2 touchdowns.
Oh, that is a stinger.
It was close.
You had Will Fuller, I assume. Yes. You mean in the Texans stack. Yeah, right.
No Hopkins. It was Watson, Fuller, Akins. If it'd been Watkins, Fuller, Fells, who knows? I might not be here.
I had a Cousins, Thielen stack. With McCaffrey, Will Fuller, Auden Tate, Allen Robinson. So like it's just putting up points. But then I had the Buccaneers defense, 1 point, and Zeke Elliott instead of Aaron Jones in the afternoon slate. It's just remarkable how like one decision, because like the Buccaneers defense and the Eagles defense, I mean, they probably weren't the same. But, like I could have easily gotten to the Eagles. It's remarkable how that swings like literally at several $1,000s. It was also, I don't know if there was a, yeah, I mean, like, you just can't get upset at it. Like, you gotta hit the nuts, I guess, if you wanna win a bunch of money. Did you tell people to play Teddy Bridgewater last week? Or am I misremembering that?
No, I did not. I should.
He was the quarterback on the millionaire maker winning lineup.
Yep.
Who would have seen that coming? Actually, my boy, Brandon Guptill actually, said to play Teddy Bridgewater is like a sleeper, so shout out to him for that call. Let's get some sleepers from Heath. Lamar Jackson.
That's not a sleeper.
Not a sleeper. Top quarterback play, though. Top quarterback play.
Yeah, I'm going right back to Lamar. I don't see in this particular scoring format much difference between him and Mahomes this week, and he's $1,000 cheaper on FanDuel. It was a disappointing performance on Sunday. That will drive some people away a little bit, I'm afraid, but 2 of those 3 interceptions weren't his fault. One was Nick Boyle's fault. One was the referee's fault. He's going to be perfectly fine. Fantastic matchup against the Bengals. He'll be the quarterback I play the most in cash.
Wow. Okay. So do you anticipate that it's not a contrarian play, but it's a nice zig back while people are diving off the Lamar Jackson bandwagon, and the people who spent the offseason crowing about how bad Lamar Jackson is and then had to shut up for the first 2 weeks of the season are sort of climbing back and enjoying a little moment in the sun, don't you think?
They're going to shut up again. That's what I think. Okay. They're going to shut up again after this week. And no, it's not contrarian at all. Not even kind of. But
okay, you think he'll be heavily owned again?
He'll be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in terms of ownership.
Okay.
I'd assume Watson Mahomes will be at the top.
See, I think Mahomes is in that. Yeah, I guess they have to be in that game. Your sleeper, one mustachioed gentleman, a folk hero of sorts, if you will.
Yeah, it's like, and this was the lead of my quarterback preview this week was like, he's fun and he's great, but it's also time to look at him and say he's good.
He is good.
He's averaged 7.8 yards per attempt, completed 2/3 of his passes, and he's 5th in quarterback rushing this year. And he's not played a very easy schedule. In fact, the Saints team he's playing is giving up more points to quarterbacks than any defense he's played so far. So yeah,
really?
I'm going to, he will be a little bit contrarian.
Gardner Minshew is who we're talking about.
Gardner Minshew.
We have to be careful when we say his name too many times. I'll start like breaking out in like the hot, like I'll get like the hot flashes. People think I'm obsessed with Gardner Minshew. I don't really think I'm that obsessed. I think he's awesome, but I embrace it. I mean, yeah. I'm definitely going to shave my beard into a mustache at some point in the next 3 weeks.
How's your wife going to respond to that?
Poorly. She hates my mustache.
Yeah, me too.
Hates it. She is disgusted with it. This sounds like a stupid humble brag, but like I've got a pretty good mustache when I go to a mustache.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
I think I have a great one. Yeah.
I'm sure you, you look like you, I mean, like you can see it. Like, I mean, and my wife won't let me keep it for more than 2 days.
Oh, I rarely get that far. Usually an afternoon. It's a wonderful afternoon, but then it has to disappear.
She briefly thought that like Movember was a shell corporation I formed in order to get 30 days of the mustache. On the Saints, worth noting, the Saints at DVOA actually are 20th in defense, which is kind of weird. They seem like they should be better than that. 20th against the pass though. So, I think there is an opportunity for maybe to go against public sentiment and roll with Minshew. If you were stacking Minshew with a wide receiver, would you do, DJ Chark, or would you do, DD Westbrook?
DD will be much more contrarian, and I hate you for always bringing that song up. That's okay. But yeah, I would like, it'll be I'm really interested to see if the Saints shadow Chark this week, because like we see three or four games like that and start getting excited about a wide receiver. I feel like the NFL is a little bit slower to react, probably wisely in most situations. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get the shadow treatment. And if he doesn't, he's going to have a monster game.
Yeah. And I don't know if DJ Chark is the type of receiver that Marshawn Lattimore, maybe he is the type. Yeah. I mean, I guess he's big enough that Marshawn Lattimore can shadow him. And yeah, we'll see. Maybe the Saints don't do it. We'll see what, I can't remember anybody's name today. Well, maybe I might be having dementia. What's the Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator for the Saints, does. Running backs, no Christian McCaffrey. He's playing at 9:30 in the morning. You can't use him, everybody. It's a real shame.
I mean, it's sad because I had to do some extra work this week and change that section of the article, and it was nice when I could just leave it the same. That was an extra 5 minutes of my life because of the London game.
But, so you just went to Christian McCaffrey light with Alvin Kamara, right?
Yeah. Again, this Jacksonville defense, shockingly, the only defense in the NFL giving up 5.5 yards per carry or more. They have been the worst on a per carry basis, and I don't think that's going to improve. Kamara is averaging more than 20 touches per game in games started by Teddy Bridgewater. And he's had a little bit of a slump in terms of touchdowns here recently, not scoring at the rate you would expect. So I anticipate Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook may have higher ownership. That's not to say Kamara is going to be contrarian, but he may not be the highest owned running back this week.
But if he goes, I mean, like McCaffrey just went off against the Jaguars defense. They're 32nd against the run by DVOA, as you point out. And, I would think that the Saints can get up, and Jalen Ramsey coming back doesn't hurt Alvin Kamara, right? Like,
right. And I'm not so sure that, like, I almost feel like Jalen Ramsey just needed to go to practice for a couple of days to show him that he's trying to play. I'm not so sure that he's going to play this week.
I actually kind of like that idea. This line's a little stinky though. Like why are the Jaguars favored by one?
And it's moving in that direction, right?
I know. It's weird. It makes no sense. The Saints, but do you know the last time the Saints failed to cover an October game? I said this on the podcast like seven times, so I'll just tell you. It was October 11, 2015. That's nuts.
They're due.
To not cover. Yeah, I get the gambler's fallacy, right? Contrarian running back play. I would not have guessed this if you gave me 100 guesses. Philip Lindsay.
Why would you have not guessed it?
He's just been so far off the radar this year, just in general, I feel like. I don't own any Philip Lindsay. I'm on the Broncos. I like the Broncos, but I don't know. It hadn't blown me away.
Yeah, it's strange because he's in a committee, and it's like almost an even split committee, but also he only has one game with fewer than 15 touches this year. There's just a lot of touches available to Denver running backs because they're throwing it to them a lot more. And in PPR, he's the number 12 running back in fantasy so far this year. But I think he has scored more PPR fantasy points than Chris Carson.
I would not have guessed that. There's a 0%. I think if you ask the average, you should put that as a poll. who has more fantasy points this year? Chris Carson or Philip Lindsay? Like, I feel like every, it's going to be like 75% Chris Carson, even though there's a factual answer that people could look up.
But your initial response to Philip Lindsay is why he's my favorite contrarian play. Because I think you're right. No one's recognizing that. And they are really throwing the ball to him quite a bit. He's got 17 catches already. He's the only guy that gets carries inside the 5-yard line for this offense. I don't know why. You would think it would be Royce Freeman, but it's not.
And Denver, by the way, 14th in rush offense DVOA. They're actually an above average running team. I people don't want to hear this crap about the Broncos. There could be 3-2 and they could be coming on kind of strong with a chance to beat the Titans this week and be 4-2. If the Chiefs lose, who knows? You know, maybe Chiefs lose the Texans, they'd be tied for first place in the division. I'm not a crazy person talking myself into that scenario. You're a crazy person talking yourself into that scenario. Wide receivers, Larry Fitz and Tyler Boyd. I love the Tyler Boyd call, but I would guess based on the slot numbers that he's going to be heavily owned, like the slot percentages by, given up by the Ravens.
I would assume he's like the initial projections I showed 7 or 8 receivers owned higher than him, but he's still at 11%. Okay. But those are just guesses, and they'll be much more accurate. I'll put out an article on Sunday morning with some more information. But listen, he's just hugely targeted in almost every game. I think double-digit targets in all but one of his games, now facing a Ravens defense that has not been able to guard anyone, but especially the slot receivers. They've not done too bad against the number one outside guys on occasion. Marlon Humphrey's the one defensive back they have that's playing well. But, yeah, I would expect he's going to be chalk. Larry probably won't be, but I still think should be, and I just can't get away from him. It's a high-volume offense against a terrible defense in the Atlanta Falcons. And both teams should be going up and down. I've made this argument, though, like 3 weeks in a row with Larry Fitzgerald, it feels like, and it hasn't paid off as of late. So, but he's down to 5,600 on FanDuel. Like, he's priced,
that's
like, priced like a number three receiver.
You know what I missed on last week? And I think sometimes this is kind of important to think about in DFS. Michael Thomas was $6,600 on DraftKings, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, at a certain point, you just have to say, that's too low for a superstar wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, and just pay the price to get, like, make sure you get some of that in your life. Cause he went up back up to like 8,000 this week or something crazy like that. So it's just a, make sure you get some of him, some exposure to him. Your top contrarian wide receiver guy we already mentioned, Mr. Courtland Sutton.
Yeah. Again, I guess I'm going to play a lot of Broncos this week, which doesn't seem good against a defense like the Titans. The Titans are such.
Oh. Hey, Heath, welcome to hell. Welcome to hell. The Broncos.
They are a weird defense,
mm-hmm.
because they give up plenty of yards. They're just have been good about keeping teams out of the end zone for 2 years in a row. But I view Sutton like a number one wide receiver. We talked about it earlier. He's just dominating targets the last 3 weeks and playing like he deserves them.
He's catching 68.4% of his passes and averaging 10.6 yards per target.
He's a different guy. I didn't like him coming into the year. Based on what he did last year, he had one route. It was run down the sideline, and he couldn't catch hardly any. I mean, he didn't get a lot of accurate throws, but even when they hit him in the hands, it seemed like he was dropping more than he was catching. So he's made great strides in his second year.
He has been just a really good wide receiver. Yeah. I was just wrong on him. All right. I was right on the Broncos, I guess. Whatever. This Broncos thing really has me twisted. Top tight end play, no surprise. The one, the only, the surprisingly disappointing Travis Kelce.
It's hilarious because he is surprisingly disappointing. He is also on pace for 90 catches and 1,400 yards.
Is that right? is that right? Doesn't feel like he's done anything. He has one touchdown.
He has one touchdown.
Oh man. Let's see. Hold on. Let's look at that quarterback. What's his name for the Chiefs? Froggy McFrogerson. Let's see. Patrick Mahomes, last two games, one touchdown. Playing the Texans.
Yeah, he's still averaging almost 90 yards per game. He is going to be fine. There is nothing to be concerned about. I just hope that maybe people play someone else. But no, he's going to be my cash tight end this week, regardless of what side.
There's some touchdown regression coming for Travis Kelce.
And Patrick Mahomes both. Now, you can argue which direction Mahomes is going because he's just constantly moving. But
well, he's down to 44 average. He's on pace for 44 this year. So pathetic effort by Travis, right. By Patrick Mahomes. And then your top contrarian play at tight end. Interesting that Mark Andrews has now fallen into the realm of contrarian, whereas he was super duper chalky 3 weeks into the season.
And that's a little bit of a guess. But okay. I would anticipate more people are going to play Travis Kelce for sure. More people are going to play George Kittle after his recent bounce back performance. More people are going to play Austin Hooper because he's playing the free space Cardinals. So at the highest, I would think more people would play Ertz too. We'll find out. But yeah, I do like Andrews to bounce back. The whole Baltimore offense should.
You know what? Mark Andrews probably wasn't going to average 8 catches, 110 yards and a touchdown for the entire season like he did the first 2 weeks of the year. Is his catch percentage concerning to you? He was, you know, catching over 90% of his balls the first 2 weeks, now down to 54.5 over the last 3 weeks, an average of 7.3 targets, 4 catches, just 30 yards a game, and 1 touchdown over that entire span.
I wouldn't say concerned is the right word. I didn't think he was going to catch 90% of his passes. He is targeted downfield more than most tight ends, so his catch rate will be a little lower, but he's at 72% for the year. That's fine.
Trying to find the Bengals are actually don't give up that many points to tight ends, surprisingly, because they're a bad football team.
Oh, they're bad at pretty much everything except for maybe that.
I wonder if that's something related to they played Seahawks in week one. Disley hadn't emerged. 49ers, Bills don't have a tight end. Steelers were blowing them out and didn't need to throw. McDonald was out that game, and the Cardinals don't have a tight end. Maybe they just haven't played it. What happened to that 49ers game with Kittle? Did he not have a big game against them? Why am I not remembering that?
I don't have any recollection of it at all.
Oh, 3 catches for 54 yards, but they beat him 41-17. So the Bengals just haven't played anybody that needed to score with them and had a tight end.
Yeah,
I like this contrarian play a lot.
I hope that it turns out to be contrarian. We'll have better information on that later in the week, but regardless, I like him this week.
Okay, it's a stack with Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. Reminder, you can join the Pick Six podcast group. Oh, wait, I forgot to ask Heath. Any good beer this week, Heath?
I don't think I had any new beer this week.
I don't think I did either. Kind of disappointing. You know what I did have, though, that was really good? I was at the ABC store here in North Carolina, and there was a bunch of Eagle Rare, which I am quite fond of. Cheap. It's a very low-cost, high-end bourbon. And I noticed that there was a Peg Leg Porker bourbon from Tennessee, and I got a fifth of that. And very good. It's like a nicer George Dickel, you know.
Peg Leg Porker.
Peg Leg Porker. It's got a fat pig with a peg leg on the bottle. But it's like a little more boutique-y Tennessee whiskey. I don't know how you feel about Tennessee versus Kentucky whiskeys, or whether you really give a crap and just like whiskey.
I don't have a strong opinion on Tennessee versus Kentucky.
Have you tried Colorado whiskey?
I have not.
It's actually pretty good. Campfire is a very good.
I drink a lot more bourbon than whiskey, so I guess maybe I do have an opinion.
Well, no, it is bourbon. Yeah, when I say whiskey, I mean
it's from Colorado. It can't be bourbon, right?
I guess not. Yeah, I guess technically it can't be. I guess it would be campfire whiskey is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah, bourbon is what I mean by when I say whiskey, I mean bourbon. Okay. Like I don't drink scotch or like actual whiskey. I like bourbon.
Me too.
But Peg Leg is a good bourbon. Eagle Rare, of course, great. And if you try Campfire, try High West Campfire.
Okay. Just
check that out. All right. Subscribe, rate, review, leave a 5-star. You can ask Fantasy Strategy. And if you give a good question, we will use it later in the podcast with Heath. Hey, look, if you're subscribing and you don't like one episode, don't leave a 3-star review and say you love the podcast but didn't like one episode. What the hell, man? You're hurting us. If you listen every week, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Giants Patriots preview coming up later today with Tyler Sullivan. In the meantime, thanks, Heath, as always, buddy.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.